Happy Monday out there, Team 42. It's your skipper here, Darius Dowd, presenting our macro minute for Monday, March 2nd, 2026. Hope everyone had a great weekend. So as always, we'll start with the executive summary from today's leadoff morning note. So let's dive right in. Today's key macro question is, does more war equal less rate cuts? In terms of the answer is yes for now. Investors should continue to expect that anything which gives the Powell Fed an excuse to further delay normalizing monetary policy will be acted upon. Here is the most important thing we learned today regarding the six key macro cycles that influence the momentum and dispersion within and across asset markets on a trend basis, starting with growth. Anthropic's PBC's artificial intelligence chatbot Claude suffered widespread service outages on Monday, with thousands of users flagging disruptions on Down Detector as the company navigates a user growth surge tied to its public relations clash with the Pentagon. Recall that Anthropic publicly rejected the Pentagon's demands for unrestricted military deployment of its tools, specifically opposing surveillance of U.S. citizens and autonomous lethal strikes without a human in the loop. The Trump administration has since directed federal agencies to cease using Anthropic software while designating it as a supply chain risk. Sam Altman, founder of ChatGPT maker OpenAI, announced the Pentagon agreement just hours after Trump's order. This is a signal that corporate America understands just how important winning geopolitical conflicts has become and will likely increasingly become during President Trump's second term. This pattern is consistent throughout U.S. history as presidents typically see domestic political influence in the midterms. Transitioning to inflation, Brent crude oil surged roughly 9% to above $79 per barrel as the effective closure of the Strait of Hormuz, through which approximately 20% of global oil supply transits, triggered a hawkish repricing across race markets. Aramco suspended activity at Saudi Arabia's largest refinery following a drone strike in the vicinity, according to people familiar with the matter, with Qatar Energy, while Qatar Energy halted LNG output after assaults targeted its Ras Laffan complex. Shifting to monetary policy, the hawkish repricing in energy markets sent Treasury and European sovereign debt yields higher as traders pared expectations for policy easing by the BOE and the Fed. War is inflationary via rising fiscal expenditures, rising capacity utilization, and rising commodity prices, which is why money markets are pricing out rate cuts. Nothing in fiscal policy or liquidity. Transition to positioning, in terms of the geopolitical impact, how it may have on positioning over a short-term time horizon. President Trump stated that the bombing campaign against Iran could persist for weeks and urged the country's leadership to capitulate, calling on Iran's generals to transfer authority to the nation's people and declaring that he had agreed to engage with new leadership after the weekend killing of Supreme Leader Ayatollah Ali Khamenei. Meanwhile, Iran's security chief Ali Larijani countered that Tehran would not negotiate with the U.S., rejecting reports that he had contacted American officials via Omani mediators. So continue reviewing to learn if our institutional grade risk management overlays, KISS and Dr. Mo, are evolving their signals in response to any of these fundamental dynamics. Transitioning to our 42 macro dashboard, as always, a wrap up with a question from our community. This one's titled Taking Factor Risk as a Retail Investor. It says, hi, Didi, I really appreciate the thoughtful work you and the team are doing. As a new member, I'm learning a great detail from both your posts and the community. I often hear you say that retail investors should avoid taking factor risk. I wanted to ask for a deeper explanation of this point. From my perspective, tools like Dr. Mo and VAM seem designed in a way that allow retail investors to express factor views in a structured and disciplined manner, essentially by following the signals rather than making discretionary calls. That is correct. That's exactly why they exist. Continuing reading the question. For example, one could simply act on buy-sell indications while potentially avoiding short exposure due to the asymmetric risk. On the surface, it appears that these tools make factor exposure more accessible and controlled for someone like me. Could you help clarify why, despite this, you still caution retail investors against taking factor risk? I suspect I may be missing an important piece around implementation, risk management, or behavioral challenges. A related question, if an investor were to allocate a very small portion of their portfolio purely for learning purposes, treating it as an educational exercise with limited capital risk, are there particular Dr. Mo signals or approaches that you would consider a sensible starting point? I value learning by doing and would approach this as a small contained experiment rather than a core investment strategy. Thank you for the work you're doing and for any guidance you're willing to share. So excellent questions. So sort of just addressing them kind of in order here. The first thing I will say is, you know, I think my comments on trying to caution retail investors to upgrade their investing habits and cease taking factor risk is purely from the perspective of retiring on time and comfortably. Retail investors do not need to take factor risk to retire on time and comfortably. If all you did was maximize upside capture and minimize downside, maximize upside capture in bull markets, with respect to beta, and minimize downside capture in bear markets with respect to beta, you are solving the problem that is attempting to retire on time and comfortably. If you want to do something beyond solve that problem, that is totally fine. This is what 42 Macro does for our institutional investor clients around the world, vis-a-vis Dr. Mo, the proper trade signals that Dr. Mo generates across 70 different factors here with regards to U.S. equities sectors, U.S. equity factors, global equities, fixed income sectors, and macro, which we can, which we feature currency, commodity, and crypto in that macro bucket. You know, there's 70 different factors that Dr. Mo is signaling on at any given time that can help any investor, whether they be institutional or retail, take factor risk in financial markets, improve the results of their factor risk taking exercise in factor financial markets. As we discussed in our February 25th or macro minute, as well as in our February 28th around the horn, you know, alpha is a zero sum game. And so if you're going to choose to participate in a zero sum game, whereby some of the participants on the, many of the participants on the other side of your trades in this zero sum game have way more resources in terms of being able to afford, you know, top flight Wall Street research, top flight execution. They have way more, on a median basis, certainly have more, educational attainment, and on a median basis have a higher EQ with regards to taking financial market risk. Why in the world would you want to be engaged in a zero sum activity with that on the other side of your trades? It just, to me, seems like a very poor decision from the perspective of, am I solving for the retiring on time and comfortable problem? You don't have to participate in that zero-sum game to retire on time and comfortably. You can participate. I mean, a lot of folks want to participate in the zero-sum game because, you know, taking factor risk makes them sound smart or makes them feel good because people like to see cause and effect on their investment choices and the results in financial markets. But the reality is the choices you make in your portfolio have no bearing on future financial market risk. The only thing that has any bearing on future financial market risk is the aggregate choices on a net basis that all investors are making on their portfolios. And so, you know, if you want to sound smart because you bought something that went up a lot because you had a thesis, yeah, that's totally fine. There's nothing wrong with doing that. If you just be aware that generally speaking, you're going to be less capitalized, less resourced, you know, generally speaking, less well-educated and have a lower emotional intelligence with regards to taking financial market risk than the institutional investors on the other side of your trades. That's why these people make so much money on the global buy side. There's no reason for them to be on the global buy side if those things weren't true. They are true. I meet with these people on a regular basis and have been doing this for almost 20 years. Those things I just said are true. So you do not, in my opinion, it's not a very wise choice to go participate in a zero-sum game where you're going to be disadvantaged across all those different categories. It's not very wise. And so, that will always be true, in my opinion, until something changes materially in terms of how the markets will function, which could be decades away, if not longer than that. Those things will be true for a very long period of time. So the overarching point I'm making is that retail investors would generally speaking, at least according to, you know, Nobel Prize winning research, would generally speaking be best served avoiding taking factor risk and participating in that zero sum game. Beta is not a zero sum game. Alpha is a zero sum game. So hopefully that is helpful. And then kind of getting back to this question. So if investors wanted to take factor risk, you know, obviously you guys are all DIY investors, you're all adults, you're all big boys and gals. You can do whatever you want with our research and risk management. I'm just, you know, giving you guys wisdom. You know, it's just general investing wisdom. You know, what is the goal you're trying to solve for? Optimize for the goal you're trying to solve for. Some people want to invest because they think investing is fun and it's a hobby for them. Other people want to invest because they want to retire on time and comfortably. In my opinion, the retiring on time and comfortably is a more noble, more worthy, and much more impactful goal from the perspective of your family, your physical health, your mental health, and ultimately the community around you that you could potentially use your investing gains to support. To me, if you optimize your portfolio and your investing habits and your investing decision-making processes around retiring on time and comfortably, you'll make way fewer choices, you'll make way fewer errors, you'll eliminate type two errors from your portfolio, which are much more hazardous and more costly. And ultimately you'll wind up with a much better, life. And that's what we built 42 Macro for, is to help people have better lives through the lens of having better investing habits and better invested performance. So that's obviously some that's a promise that we continue to deliver on and have delivered on for this first half decade of our existence. But to the extent that you want to optimize for something that is not retiring on time and comfortable, because again, those are two separate things. I don't think you can optimize as a retail investor for retiring on time and comfortably and taking a bunch of factor risks. That's an or for me. That's an or according to Nobel Prize winning research. You're not going to optimize for retiring on time and comfortably and taking factor risk. The probability of you being able to string together a successive series of positive net present value decisions across a successive series of market cycles in a zero sum game that is alpha generation is really low, according to Nobel Prize winning research. It's really low. So my opinion is that why limit the possibility of you achieving success? And that's what factor risk is for most retail investors. But getting back into the question before I wrap up. If you're going to take factor risk as a retail investor, if you want to go on the other side of that or and optimize for taking factor risk, then please do so with the use of institutional grade risk management overlays. They may not be our institutional grade risk management overlays, but I dare say you at the bare minimum want to at least enhance your factor risk taking with the use of institutional grade risk management overlays, because guess what? The buy-siders on the other side of your trades have institutional grade risk management overlays. They have the high EQ with regards to taking risks in financial markets. They have high educational attainment from universities like Yale and Harvard and Stanford and Princeton and Cambridge and Oxford. They have all those things. So if you're going to be taking factor risk on the other side of their trades in a zero-sum alpha generating environment, then make sure at the bare minimum, your factor risk taking is being empowered by tools like Dr. Mo, our discretionary risk management overlay. So for those who may be unfamiliar, what Dr. Mo does is it generates proper trade signals across, again, 70 different factors, U.S. equity sectors, U.S. equity factors, global equities, countries and aggregates, country aggregates, U.S. and global fixed income, as well as macro exposures, currencies, commodities, and crypto. Let's pick on our friend Bitcoin here. So what we show here in this Dr. Mo chart, the dark green bars or the dark green shaded areas when Dr. Mo is generating a long max position signal for this particular asset class. The light green is when Dr. Mo is generating a long half position in this asset class. The red is when Dr. Mo is generating a short max position in this asset class. And the orange, the gray is when Dr. Mo is generating no position in this asset class. So Dr. Mo was generating went to generating a no position in Bitcoin going back to November 7th of 2025 and that's been the case since November 7th of 2025. So, so that's how Dr. Mo's program. It's a program very similar to KISS in the sense that it has a top-down risk management overlay and a bottom-up risk management overlay. We use our market regime nowcasting process to incorporate the volatility targeting because these assets have different volatility profiles when you're going from a risk-on regime to a risk-off regime. Or if you think about it in the fixed incomes term, if you're going from an inflationary regime to a disinflationary regime, the volatilities of these asset classes changes, and we understand that back-tested history, and that's programmed into our top-down risk management overlay for both KISS and for Dr. Mo. And then there's also the bottom-up risk management overlay component whereby we use the individual assets volatility adjusted momentum signal, with green being bullish, orange being neutral, and red being bearish. We use the individual assets volatility adjusted momentum signal to generate the bottom-up risk management overlay, which really controls the dynamic position sizing in the KISS and Dr. Mo strategies. KISS being, basically Dr. Mo, but only for stocks, gold, and Bitcoin. Dr. Mo being Dr. Mo for everything, for all 70 different factors that we signal on here. And so, the key takeaway is that, you want to make sure that you are investing with the wind hitting your striking your sails. You don't want to invest in going against the wind. You want to invest with the wind at your back. And so what Dr. Mo allows you to do across all these different factors is invest with the wind at your back in the same way that many of the world's top hedge funds are investing. I know for a fact, because as someone who's helped build models for these companies, I know for a fact that that's how the best, these market neutral hedge fund players are organizing their risk management systems. As someone who's been, collaborating with those institutions for, well over, 15 years now. And so, this is, we want to mimic the best. you know, the folks who are charging 3 and 30 for their investment services across the global buy side. That's what we're trying to do here at 42 Macro. And ultimately, we want to do that in a way and at a price point that truly does democratize the access to that information and those processes and ultimately those results for the broader investing public. So hopefully that was helpful. So again, key takeaways are you don't need to take factor risk to retire on time and comfortably. If the choice between taking factor risk and retiring on time and comfortably is an or, not an and, generally speaking, for the vast majority of retail investors. If you want to cross over that or and optimize your investing habits for taking factor risk, then ultimately you must be aware of the choices you're making and the disadvantages that you have. You need to be honest about the disadvantages you have in that zero-sum game. And ultimately, once you're honest about those disadvantages that you have, then it behooves you to partner with firms like 42 Macro and tools like Dr. Mo in order to, you know, kind of truncate the left side of the left tail distribution that's going to be a much fatter side. The left side of the distribution is going to be much fatter for most investors once you enter that zero-sum game of factor risk taking. So you need to make sure you're being empowered by tools like Dr. Mo to kind of eliminate some of that volatility drag from your investing activity. So after recording that, I was just liaising with our COO who listened to the discussion, and he said it in so much more succinctly than I did, bloviating for 10 minutes, which is, if you want to mess around with your portfolio like you're a sports bettor, just know that there are sharks on the other side of your trades who get paid lots of money to systematically take money away from people like that. Let me say that again. If you want to mess around, if you want to have fun, if you want to have fun trading, just know that there are people who get paid lots of money to sit there all day with like 8 screens to systematically take money away from people who want to mess around and treat investing like a hobby. This is not a hobby for them. This is not a hobby for me. I work 75 hours a week doing this. They work 75 hours a week systematically taking money away from people who want to treat investing like a hobby. It's not a dang hobby. If you learn one thing from me before I get hit by a bus, is that investing is not a damn hobby. This is way too important for your family. It's way too important for your community. And so optimize your investing for having the best possible life. Do not optimize it for sports betting, because there are sharks who will continue to systematically take money away from you, period. So hopefully that's helpful. We'll wrap it up there. Again, Darius Dell here presenting our Macro Minute for Monday, March 2nd, 2026. Everyone have a wonderful day out there. Best of luck. We'll catch you back here tomorrow. Cheers.
Disclaimer, 42 Macro does not provide, and no portion of our content purports to be, individualized or specific investment advice, and 42 Macro does not provide investment advice to individuals. All information provided by 42 Macro is general in nature and is made without regard to individual levels of sophistication or investment experience, investment preferences, objectives or risk parameters, and without regard to the suitability of the content for individuals or entities who may access it. No information provided by 42 Macro should be construed as an offer to sell or a solicitation of an offer to buy any security or investment vehicle, nor should it be construed as tailored or specific to you or consumer thereof. You understand and agree that our content does not constitute specific recommendations of any particular investment, security, portfolio, transaction, or strategy, nor does it recommend any specific course of action is suitable for any specific person or entity or group of persons or entities. At any point in time, the employees of 42 Macro may own a portion of or all the ETF securities discussed in 42 Macro Research content. 42 Macro Research content is based upon information from sources believed to be reliable. 42 Macro is not responsible for errors, inaccuracies, or omissions of information, nor is it responsible for the accuracy or authenticity of the information upon which it relies.